Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Reincarnation, The Missing Link in Christianity by Elizabeth Clare Prophet with Aaron L. Prophet, is a work of alternative Christian spirituality and religious history that argues for the compatibility of reincarnation with the original message of Jesus and strands of early Christian belief. Written for spiritual seekers as much as for curious students of doctrine, it contends that ideas resembling reincarnation and karmic moral causation can be traced in biblical passages, early Christian debates, and especially in non-canonical sources associated with Christian mysticism and Gnostic currents. The authors present reincarnation not as a replacement for Christianity, but as a proposed interpretive key for themes such as divine justice, suffering, sin, grace, and the soul's long-term transformation. A major aim of the book is to explain how and why reincarnation, if once present or plausible within early Christian thought, became marginalized or rejected as later church authority and orthodoxy consolidated. The tone blends documentation with advocacy, inviting readers to reconsider familiar teachings about salvation and the afterlife. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the central claim reincarnation as an original or early Christian teaching. The book is organized around a provocative thesis that reincarnation was not merely an imported Eastern idea, but a belief compatible with, and possibly present within, early Christianity. Prophet argues that Jesus should be understood as a Jewish wisdom teacher with a mystical dimension, and that early Christian diversity included views of the soul that differ from later Orthodox formulations. Rather than treating later doctrine as the inevitable endpoint of Christian development, the authors emphasize the contested nature of early Christian theology, where multiple interpretations of the soul, judgment, and spiritual progress circulated. Within that frame, reincarnation is presented as a missing explanatory link that, in their view, makes sense of moral development over time and the apparent unevenness of human circumstances. The argument is not confined to a single proof text, but is built cumulatively, appealing to patterns of interpretation, themes of spiritual rebirth and transformation, and the broader landscape of early Christian speculation. Readers should note that this is an interpretive and revisionist proposal, aimed at reopening questions that many churches consider settled rather than a neutral doctrinal survey. Secondly, use of sources, Bible, non-canonical writings, and historical scholarship. A defining feature of the book is its effort to ground an unconventional conclusion in a wide range of textual material. The authors draw on biblical passages, as well as non-canonical and paracanonical writings often associated with early Christian mysticism, including Gnostic-leaning texts known through modern discoveries and scholarship. They also invoke broader historical evidence about early Christian communities and debates, presenting reincarnation as a belief that could have been present among groups later deemed heterodox. This source strategy serves two purposes. First, it signals that the book is not only devotional or inspirational, but also documentary in ambition, with extensive referencing intended to support its historical narrative. Second, it highlights a methodological choice, privileging diversity in early Christian literature and interpreting that diversity as evidence of lost or suppressed possibilities. Even readers who ultimately disagree with the conclusions can find the approach valuable as a map of texts and themes commonly discussed in conversations about Christian origins, canon formation, and the boundaries between orthodoxy and heresy. Thirdly, church authority and the narrowing of doctrine over time. Another major topic is the process by which certain beliefs became authoritative while others were excluded. The book frames the rejection of reincarnation as part of a broader historical consolidation in which church councils, influential theologians, and institutional power helped define acceptable belief. Prophet emphasizes that early Christianity was not monolithic, and that later Orthodox positions emerged through debate, conflict, and the establishment of boundaries. In this narrative, groups labeled heretical, including movements associated with Gnostic spirituality and later medieval dissent, are treated as carriers of alternative perspectives on the soul and spiritual destiny. The authors present suppression not simply as an abstract theological disagreement, but as a lived historical reality, tied to persecution and the policing of belief. This historical storyline supports the book's larger rhetorical goal to encourage readers to treat reincarnation as a recoverable part of Christian spiritual imagination rather than a foreign intrusion. At the same time, the discussion implicitly raises a critical question for readers whether doctrinal authority should be understood primarily as continuity with earliest faith, as institutional decision, or as an evolving consensus within Christian tradition. Fourthly, karma, suffering, and the problem of divine justice. The book connects reincarnation to one of the most persistent theological questions: how to reconcile a loving and just God with the reality of suffering and unequal life circumstances. Prophet proposes that a karmic framework, understood as moral cause and effect across multiple lives, offers an explanation for tragedy, adversity, and apparent injustice without abandoning divine goodness. Within this model, the soul is seen as developing through repeated opportunities, learning, and moral refinement, which can make sense of why people appear to start life with different burdens or gifts. The authors do not present karma as a rival to grace so much as a structure that, in their view, can coexist with Christian ideas of mercy and spiritual transformation. This synthesis is central to the book's appeal for readers who already feel pulled between Christian devotion and a belief in reincarnation. It also illustrates why the book can be controversial. Many Orthodox traditions resist karmic explanations because they can seem to shift emphasis away from salvation as a singular, decisive divine act. Prophet instead treats reincarnation as a lens that deepens responsibility while preserving hope for long-term spiritual progress. Lastly, a syncretic spirituality integrating Christian mysticism with broader traditions, beyond historical argument. The book advances a lived spiritual vision that blends Christian language with concepts more commonly associated with Eastern religions and modern metaphysical spirituality. Reincarnation, karma, and spiritual ascent are positioned as compatible with devotion to Christ and with a mystical understanding of the Christian path. This syncretic orientation is explicit. The authors treat Christianity as containing a hidden or neglected mystical stream that can be reconnected to a larger perennial tradition. For sympathetic readers, the benefit is an expansive framework that links ethical action, inner transformation, and a long arc of spiritual purpose. For critical readers, the same blending can appear to flatten important differences between traditions or to read later metaphysical assumptions back into ancient texts. The book's approach is therefore best understood as both interpretive and constructive. It interprets early Christian materials to argue for reincarnation, and it constructs a modern Christian esotericism in which reincarnation functions as a practical and hopeful account of the soul's journey. Regardless of agreement, the book stands as a clear example of contemporary efforts to reimagine Christian doctrine through the resources of mysticism, alternative history, and cross-tradition synthesis. In conclusion, this book will most strongly appeal to readers who are already curious about reincarnation, but want to explore it through Christian sources and categories rather than leaving Christianity behind. It is also relevant for students of religion who want a well-known example of modern syncretic argumentation, a text that combines historical references, non-canonical Christian literature, and a normative spiritual proposal. Readers can gain intellectual benefits by encountering how debates about canon, heresy, and doctrinal development shape what later generations consider essential Christian belief. Practically, the book offers a framework in which moral responsibility, suffering, and personal growth are interpreted across a longer horizon than a single lifetime, which some readers find psychologically and spiritually clarifying. What makes it stand out in its niche is its directness. It does not merely note that some Christians have entertained reincarnation. It argues that the teaching belongs at the center of Christian spirituality and was later pushed aside. At the same time, its conclusions and its blending of traditions will not satisfy Orthodox theology and may not meet the standards of strictly academic historical method. Approached as a documented, advocacy-driven reinterpretation rather than a neutral textbook, it provides a distinctive and influential contribution to the modern conversation about Christianity and reincarnation. If you would like to support Elizabeth Clare Prophet, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.